Unrestricted. But here I am, and a very exciting show today, man. I've got a very interesting guest that I met some time ago on Facebook, of all places. So let me introduce him right now. His name is Riley Weber. He's based in, I'm just going to say Portland in the United States, all right? And he's the creative director at Tick Studios LLC. Hello, Riley. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, it's awesome to be here.
So you are an animator. You're the creative director at Tick Studios LLC. To give people some background that kind of listen to, you know, this podcast, we met on a Facebook networking group that I thought was about getting business, but eventually, like, the more I stayed for the months, I realized it was more like a counseling session for entrepreneurs in a lot of ways, you know. But a lot of good meetings came out of there, and we met there, and we kind of connected after the fact. I used to work with a lot of animators back in South Africa, and, you know, I just thought you're a cool guy and somebody really interesting to talk to. So tell us a bit about what you do.
That's an awesome intro. I am basically a guy who loves movies and wanted to be a director and always found comic books and other forms of media a way to tell stories. And since I realized that, you know, you could use pictures to tell a story, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And it started with comic books, but eventually in 2020, I started animating. And in 2021, I formed a business called Tick Studios LLC, and have been working on my own original series called Rip the Falcon.
What is Rip the Falcon actually
about? Rip the Falcon is basically Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, but anthropomorphic, and in the style of Heavy Metal, the movie, and the animator Ralph Bakshi.
Where am I going? Searching through the reach. I can fly, but there's something I just can't see. I'm going to know you. I'm gonna walk through that door. When it's all over, I'll say no more.
Just pour me the shot. To my health.
What is that? Like, what are we listening to? What is that animation about? Like, how do you come up with this?
So this episode in particular is basically we get a glimpse for the first time about the character's backstory. He's in a bar. He's kind of ordering a drink and going through like a typical bar alcoholic slum. And you get the sense that he's got a past and he's hiding something. And the story behind the character is that he's running all the time. He's like always going place, and we don't really know why. But, you know, later throughout the story, you realize he's got like all this like baggage. And he's kind of like, you know, a wandering soul. Mm. And he's trying to find the answer to his own mystery. And so, you know, throughout the course of the series, a lot of stuff happens, but it's also kind of like an introspective show. So there's a lot of action. There's a lot of like fighting and stuff. But it's also kind of like almost psychological. It's very mixture of different things, and it's a blend of like cinema and you know, rated R movies and just my own experience in traveling and things like that.
I got you. How do you make money?
This is a trick question, because the answer is yes and no. Okay. Now the secret about this is you get what you put out. So I have made some money, but, you know, the money that I've made, I've had to work for. Mm. And, you know, I tell anyone who's doing art that you don't have every day by some other younger artist who's better at art, or like now we have AI. Mm. So you have to kind of work even harder to get that extra little pinch of money. So if you're doing art for a living, make sure you love it. That's what I always say. Mm. But, you know, what I do to do what I'm doing with Rip the Falcon is self-publishing. And I wanted to talk about this specifically because, you know, I hear all the time about, you know, people getting screwed over by Netflix.
Yeah.
The SAG-AFTRA strikes, I'm sure you're familiar with, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We are in a really interesting time where we have more resources than ever before, and you can post your stuff online and get paid for it, self-published, and keep all your copyright. So it doesn't make instant money, but I've made at least like a small sum, and over time, it builds. It only snowballs. So it's a long game,
yeah.
But if you play your cards right, you can actually get some decent profit.
Yeah.
So that's what I am doing with my own work.
I mean, most of the animators that I worked with back in South Africa were more, I guess, in the advertising marketing kind of space, right? Like, so, you know, all the animation, if a bank was to do a campaign or something and they needed a whole bunch of animation or somebody needed an explainer video, this is like Spider-Man stuff you're doing.
Yeah, so I also did a little bit of freelancing and did some, like, you know, YouTuber stuff, and, you know, I did a music video. My music video is on my YouTube channel. So, like, a lot of people do, like, explainer videos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And there's definitely money to be made in that sort of stuff. What I want to do is, what my passion is to tell cinematic animated series. And
right.
It's a lot harder. It pays a lot less, and it takes a lot more work, but it's something that I think is doable. I want to give a couple of examples of people who have done it. You know Tubi, right?
Yes. The free platform.
Well, you have to watch ads because they have to make some money. I mean, but one of my favorite creators on any platform, this guy named Frank J. Sudol, or F. Sudol.
Yeah.
And he's made about like 8 or 9 feature animated films by himself.
Wow.
And posted them on Tubi. I don't know how much money he's made, but he is definitely an example of someone who wanted to make a feature film by himself, and he's done it like 8 times. So that's definitely doable.
It's doable, and I like that a lot. I like that. I like just the fact that it's doable for somebody who says, you know, who's got the balls to do it and says, you know what, I'm going to do this thing and I'm going to actually do it and go out there and do it. And even if it costs you money, but if you play the long game and you're willing to, you know, play the long game and you've got the ability to do so, why not?
I mean, there's other people that kind of made me take the jump to getting on streaming, because YouTube and TikTok have become basically McDonald's, and people don't want a $10 steak. They want a $2 cheeseburger. And so, you know, when you're trying to make a really good meal that people want to eat and sink their teeth into, but all they care about is digestible fast food, you're going to the wrong place. So I definitely recommend, if you're wanting to make something quality and with good editing and good video, you want to get on streaming. And there's ways to do it. You can publish directly through Amazon Prime Direct. And you can also go to a distributor called Film Hub. And you can publish your stuff, and they'll just take a little sliver of it. You won't pay anything up front. And they'll just basically take a percentage, and you get money.
I mean, you know, and that's, I think, what's exciting. I still want to have the AI conversation maybe a little later on, how you feel about that. But that is exciting. We live in a time where, you know, you can do the things that we, you know, before you couldn't, and you can do them fairly quickly with, you know, software and a cell phone or whatever. So there's no excuse, really, at least to get, you know, get the ball rolling. The point of the, I think the problem is what people struggle with is the long game. For example, like podcasts, you know, I'd like to talk about your podcast. Like, do you, like, why do you even do your podcast? But most people don't get past 20 podcasts. Did you know that?
So just I just reached 23.
Yeah,
so I had my 23rd.
So congratulations, that's amazing. So I mean, just by doing that, you're in the top percentage, and you are playing the long game, right? So you are. There's a reason that you're doing it. Like you're not. It's not about the money now. I heard something online recently that really made me think, saying, you know, someone that listens to your podcast probably is never going to spend any money with you, but they know somebody that will.
Yeah. I've had conversations with people on social media who actually prefer the podcast. And I'm like, no way. Because, you know, for me, it's kind of like I get to be myself and just shoot the shit and be like loose and not think about things. But then people engage with you and they feel a connection and they start to feel like you're personal. And I watched your last podcast where it's like 5 reasons to make a podcast. And, you know, one of them was to engage with your audience. And it definitely does that. It makes people familiar with yourself.
I appreciate you even listening, Riley. You know, there was where I learned that. I don't know if you're maybe a little young to have felt this or have grown up in that kind of era, but there was a time when we were really connected to like radio DJs when I was growing up. Like it was like the old social media. They were our superstars. And, you know, like I felt like I was like this guy or this lady I was listening to was my best friend. Like I connected with him on that level. And podcasting offers the same thing, you know? So like somebody that's interested in what you have to say feels connected like that to you, and you've never met them in your life. You know, it's similar to reading a book. Like you can impact so many people in such a different way without realizing. Yeah.
I actually was in the last era. I always like to take my generation, be like, I'm the last one before the internet screwed everything up. But, you know, I grew up in Los Angeles and we had the world famous KROQ, K-Rock.
Wow.
And just like K-Rock, you said, man. We had those hosts and one of them is a legend. His name is Jed the Fish. Wow. And anybody who grows up in L.A. knows Jed because he's exactly like you said. He's a personality. He is kind of like a rock star, even though all he does is just tell songs. But it's like, yes, he's a personality.
Yeah.
It's definitely cool.
And there's a lot to be said for that. So, like, I think that magic is what really comes across in podcasts for whatever you're interested in. Like, whatever you are interested in. I have learned more probably on Spotify and YouTube about business than I ever have other than, like, in experience. Like, you can learn about anything these days. Like, and it's just, it's incredible. Podcasting is, like, you can kill 2 birds with 1 stone, man. I love running. Like if exercise is not your thing or whatever your thing is, like you could just throw a podcast on for 30 minutes, an hour, and you know, go for a run, go for a beer, and it's
absolutely
just, yeah. It's incredible.
I like to learn about history on my field of expertise, which is animation, and so you know, I think there's this podcast called The Pencil Pushers. And they interview legends in the industry
right.
every week they get someone who's a like a 20 year veteran in the field, and you know, to get insight constantly of people who have been doing like work with the 9 old men in the Disney era, Robin Hood and Jungle Book and stuff. So it's like You can find basically any information, just like you said. It's really educational sometimes.
So tell us about your podcast. You're on episode, 23 you said, hey?
I just did my 23rd episode, yeah.
And I remember when we spoke some time back, when we initially met, were you doing a podcast or you started subsequently since or?
We met, I want to say, in the I think last year.
Yeah, last year.
And I was just starting out
right
at that point.
And
like 2022 was when I started. So it's been about a year.
And I mean, where, first of all, where is it? Like, where are you putting it up and how consistently are you doing it? Is it, you know, tell us a little about it.
I took a little bit of a break in the middle of like last year, but I brought it back and I do it about, I want to say every week or 2 weeks.
Right.
There's not a schedule because they used to do it every week and I found myself running out of ideas faster than I can come up with them.
Yeah.
So I didn't make a schedule afterward and usually a good idea would pop in about a week or two.
Yeah.
In and I would just bust it out. No script, no no posts. I would just sit down, have a cup of coffee or something, and just let it come out. And I've been kind of not really making it a theme. It's been more of a variety. I know a lot of podcasts really focus on one thing, but
yeah,
I felt like my brand was really more about just being loose. Yeah. So that was kind of what fit.
Maybe that is your one thing, you know, variety.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
It's like the one podcast that has like everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to those who don't know my brand, I'm very much alternative and 90s culture. I'm a big fan of like rock and, you know, that grunge era and VHS and cartoons and everything. So my whole shtick is just late night cable TV and radio rock and roll. So that's kind of my wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. And I try to emulate the feeling of like a crappy alternative rock station or a late night cable TV show and bring that for the adult audience.
Yeah, well put. I mean, that's, how old are you, Riley, if you don't mind me asking?
I just had my 33rd birthday.
Well, okay.
I'm 33.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're young. So why, at 33 years old, do you think you have all of this interest in, you know, the 90s? And, you know, they say the more things change, the more they stay the same. I remember when I was a kid listening to songs and, you know, my folks would say, oh, shit, man, that's an old song, but... you know, kind of just reworked, but I just feel like the 90s and the early 2000s, the 80s, it was just a different time. So I'm going off point here. Like, what is it about that time, I guess, that interests you as a 33-year-old versus now?
I honestly think it's a harder time. Not necessarily like things were more difficult, but, you know, it was more edgy. It was more fun. It was looser. The art and the music and the culture was more about attitude and being ugly and raw. And something spoke to me about that. If you look at a cartoon from the mid-90s, and if you look at a cartoon today, you'll instantly notice how clean everything looks now. And I really kind of miss the grunge and the grit that, you know, that era in the 90s had, because, you know, I really feel like that resonated with me. And
I got you.
Today, things, they feel too sterile now. Mm. I'll watch like Legend of Vox Machina and it looks great, but it also looks clean. Like everything is perfect. There's no mistakes. There's no, it just, there's something missing. And I've been trying to recapture that spontaneity and that almost edge that, you know, the 90s had. And I just miss that attitude. And yeah. I think that,
sex,
that's
drugs, and rock
what
and roll.
A lot of people miss.
Yeah, it was definitely a different time. There's just way too many people that are just... I don't want to politicize it, you know, but people's feelings, everyone just, it's just, people need to toughen up a little these days, you know.
Yeah.
Social media is just, yeah, you know, everyone, like I was watching Chris Rock, one of my favorite comedians. I interviewed him many years ago in South Africa. Luckily enough, I got 5 minutes with him and actually sat down with him, and he did this this bit on yoga pants. And he was walking in the mall, and, you know, they had the sign of this yoga pants that they are like anti this and anti everything. And, you know, all for everybody's feeling. And he's like, I don't give a fuck. Like, tell me about, you know, ball sweat. Like, you're selling yoga pants, for fuck's sake. You know,
so, yeah.
So I feel like it's a lot about that kind of thing. So I just try and steer clear of all of that. Like, everyone just gets way, you know, like, too sensitive about stuff. And, I mean, I guess I'm speaking from, I've just got to Canada, but I can, you know, like, I have to be careful to not hurt people's feelings. Like,
I 100% agree with you, because I grew up with great comedians. Like, you know, the 2000s had a gold mine of comedians.
Yeah.
Bernie Mac, Steve Harvey,
yeah.
George Carlin, Dennis Leary, Louis Black, Jon Stewart, you know, just so many.
Yeah.
And they knocked it out of the park because they could say almost anything. And that feels like, now everything's restricted.
Yes.
You can't really just hit the nose on the head.
Yeah.
I know that doesn't make sense, but hit the
nail on the hammer. The nail on the head.
Yeah.
That's what you mean. The
feeling of you know, just expression. It's sterile. I mean,
it's one of the things that appealed to me, you know, like, it's interesting for me coming over here. It's one of the things that appealed to me about this side of the world. That exact thing. Now, I'm going to come here and you're going to tell me you're going to regulate my podcast. I've got, like, you know, 10 people that are listening. They're like, oh, no, it's fine. You don't have to worry. Only if you're, you know, if you make $10 million or more. So I'm like, okay, I'm not there. But the people that do are regulated. So if they regulate Spotify, in turn, they regulate me.
Well, I had a really short-lived experience on TikTok because my cartoon is gory. While there's, like, kids twerking, but my cartoon is too gory, and so you know, it got banned for being too gory, and I'm like, that's kind of stupid. It's a cartoon.
It's a conversation we could have, you know, I guess a conversation we can have for another day, but I get what you're saying, and I do miss those times as well. But there's definitely, I feel like, you know, obviously you can tell me a lot about what's going on in America right now. I've never even been to America. I just know what, you know, like, people say and what I've seen, you know, like, obviously I'm right next door to you guys now, but I'm worried, man, about the kind of stuff that I see and the kind of stuff that's going on, you know, right now.
America is a theme park.
Yeah.
Take it like this. If you've gone to a Walmart or the equivalent of a Walmart, that's America. It's a giant shopping place. It's where people go to eat fast food and buy cheap clothes.
Yeah.
I like it here, but it's a zoo. America used to be something else, but now it's just Domino's, pizza, McDonald's, and Walmart.
Where's the first place I should go and visit in America when I come over?
Well, before it's gone, you got to go to the Grand Canyon. Don't wait. Go now.
America's such an interesting place, you know. Like, I thought when I come to this side of the world, at some point I'll get an RV and I'll just drive across America. Like, you've seen that in movies, and then people are like, dude, you gotta know where you're going. You're gonna just drive into any, like, American town, and you know,
it's very romanticized, but you know, people are doing the whole van life thing, and it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, I think it's because people can't afford to, like, live. I mean, you know, again, not making it about that, but, you know, just everything is so expensive these days. You kind of, like, wonder, like I haven't done a podcast for 2 weeks because I've obviously got, I've got a business, and, like, I'm trying to be consistent. I'm trying to podcast every single week. You gotta put one out every week if you, you know, maybe even more, but at least one a week, you know, over a long period of time. So for 2 weeks, I'm like bogged down with bullshit, like just making sales, because I got shit to pay. I got kids, I got a wife, I got rent. So it's all cool to be about the creative stuff, and but it's a fine balance, man. You know, it's a fine balance. Yeah,
you gotta have kind of like a backlog, because this is what I had to deal with too.
Yeah.
When I realized that, like, I was losing more time than I was making up for it, you know, I just kind of, like, I'm gonna come at this fresh with an idea and just record as soon as I have the idea.
Yeah.
And so, that seemed to have worked, and being consistent enough.
Well, I'm definitely gonna subscribe. Where can I find your podcast? Please don't tell me you're on Apple Podcasts.
You can find my YouTube channel at Tick Studios LLC on YouTube. It's all one word.
Yeah.
TIC Studios LLC, YouTube, and you can find my website, tickinc.online, T-I-C, dot online, tickinc.online, T-I-C-I-N-C dot online. And that has every one of my socials on there. Everything you can link my stuff to, it's on my website. Okay. But most of my stuff is on my YouTube. I really treat YouTube like it's my baby. It's my headquarters. It's where all my work goes into. So if you want to support me, there's also a Patreon linked into the webpage on YouTube. So you can go there as well and just watch the videos. Honestly, I'm not asking for anything other than people to watch my stuff. So you don't even have to pay anything. Just please watch my content, and I will be so happy.
Just watch the stuff. Is there anything kid-friendly here that I could show my kids or not at all?
I would say that's tough because any of the animation I do is definitely for older audiences. But
dude, nine-year-olds are listening to 21 Savage. I'm sure there's a video here that I can find that's...
Yeah, I guess the Mr. 8 video. Yeah. There's not as much blood and guts on that one, but there is a decapitation.
Yeah.
So the podcast, some of the promos I've done, it's really not aimed at kids. Yeah, I don't mean to make it.
I was
like,
just asking. Yeah, it's maybe a dumb question. Sorry, Riley. No, I mean 100%. You got your market, and you know who they are. I mean, you've got 530 subscribers here. This is
I found out that, you know, like being, you know, the 90s guy, I attract, you know, people in their 30s.
Yeah.
I did I watched the channel analytics a lot.
Yeah.
And my viewer count, most of them are in their late 20s and early 30s. Right. And I'm like, that's great because that's exactly who I am and that's my target. Like, I want those people. So I've made like this nice little pie of, people who grew up on cable, radio, TV. And that's kind of like the focus I'm going for.
That's awesome.
And, you know,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, so is this podcast going to be on, are you recording this? Is it going to be on, or are you going to just send you?
No, this is yours. This is your exclusive.
Right. No. I'm good. I mean, obviously like you're welcome to feature it as like wherever you want. But you should try, the reason I'm asking is you should try, it was an app that I was on since about 2017-18. I forget what they were called, but they were bought by Spotify, and now it's called Spotify for Podcasters. I think they were like Audible or
I noticed that on your podcast, the Unrestricted page.
Yeah, are you on there?
I'm planning on it.
So what you should do?
I mentioned not the last episode, but the episode before that, I talked about wanting to put it on iTunes and Spotify.
Definitely.
So I'll message you after this show about how I can post my videos because I have everything backed up. I think if you're doing video, you have to back everything up just in case.
You do, and you got to have the whole – I mean, the reason I'm not doing video here today is because I don't have – we need to have the whole thing linked up and set up. But you got to do video. What I like about this platform, though, we can talk about it afterwards, though, is, that you can do both. And if you're doing YouTube, like you've got obviously your video stuff there that you're doing and, you know, you can just do the audio stuff and the video stuff on both platforms and it's free. And it's cool
because
when you send it to somebody, you know, when they open it up, it opens up in Spotify. Which is pretty cool.
And, so, like you said in the past, podcasting is cheap. All you need is a microphone. Yeah. So as long as you have a way for the audio to get into your computer, you can start out with a $40 microphone that plugs right in through USB, but you can upgrade later. And it's what I did, and it definitely helps consistency because animation takes a long time. But when you have a podcast, people are still watching your stuff. So even though, you know, you could be working on something, which I did a 11 and a half minute movie. I couldn't release it, but I was podcasting the entire time. That kept my viewership. And it's a really good way for people to keep making stuff while they're working on more expensive projects.
Riley, I've got two questions left, Jeff. You've been, believe it or not, we've been talking for 25 minutes already.
Great.
It's crazy. Coming back to making your own stuff, say I want to make a movie about coming to Canada, you know, as an example, like, what am I talking about? Like, by myself.
Well, do you have a phone?
Yes.
Is it a nice phone?
It's a nice
phone. Is it a new phone?
And it's a
new phone. Is it a new phone?
And it's a camera.
Did it come out in the last 5 years?
I've got a camera, yes, as well, yes.
Okay, those phones that came out anywhere from like 5 or even 10 years ago are good enough to make a movie. Mm. So you already have a camera. Now you just need a computer
and
to
sound.
Edit on.
Sound is a big issue.
You can get like a cheap little microphone attachment to your phone. Mm. They make everything so easy. Like, you could get a Bluetooth microphone at this point.
Sure.
So equipment, you can fix that. And if you're really cheap, I've seen people do this.
Yeah.
Dub it. Dub the sound. If the sound is shit, just redo it later in post. People do it all the time.
You just have that. You want to fight?
Exactly. Kung Fu movie style. So, you know,
brilliant.
Just use your phone. Use like a car camera mount, like anything. Use a skateboard, whatever you can use.
So it's your literally going to cost me nothing but my time and effort and whoever else wants to be in it.
And get your girlfriend or your friends or something and make them do stuff for you. Like, give them food or something and have them like jump out of a car. Yeah. It works.
Yeah. And then the last one was like how you as an animator, I guess, feel about AI, because, you know, for me to just get into AI and like just say, like, type in a couple words and then this amazing image comes up, it's got to make someone like you sit up and go, shit.
I'll admit, I worked with someone who asked me to do AI assisted work, and what I would do would he would come up with an AI background and he's like, I want you to draw something like this. And so I took the AI image and I made it in my own style, and I think this is the future of animation and AI.
Totally.
They're not going to directly use it, but they're going to make like a idea, and then people are going to take inspiration from it. And so it does cut out a lot of people, but at the same time, it makes everything incredibly fast. And so if you have like low skill in backgrounds and you want a background, you could just take that idea from the AI, and then, you know, already you have like that much more speed. But, I think people are going to see right through skill, and, you know, there's still a big barrier between what a computer can do and what a visionary can think. And until we get into like the Matrix, I think we're going to still have that definite line between someone who's talented and someone who's just clearly copying. So I still have optimism, but AI is definitely being used.
Yeah, and it's coming. You can't ignore it, right? Like, it's definitely coming. But I love the way that you put it, because it's the future of everything. You're not gonna turn your back on this thing. It's coming no matter what industry you work in. And so it's just about how you're gonna use it as a tool to improve yourself and your craft.
It's kind of like swimming. You know, you got to swim or sink. So just keep doing your art, keep drawing, and don't let this stuff like intimidate you. Be aware of it, but, you know, grow, you know.
I got to tell you a quick story on the back of that, on AI. I went for a run about a month ago, and I got this option that popped up on Spotify that I could have an AI DJ. Just kind of look at like my algorithm, like what I listen to, and just feed me songs that I might like, and, you know, just kind of introduce them and tell me a couple of things in between, like essentially an AI DJ. So like I ran for half an hour, 40 minutes with this guy, and it wasn't that bad. And I was like, fuck, you know, like there goes my job, really. You know, like the, like
I think that, you know, when it comes to algorithms, specifically like search engines, they you know, I'm getting ads that I actually don't skip. It's like, fuck.
Yeah.
What they tricked me. Yeah. Now I want to buy this shit. They got the stupid shit machine and now I'm buying the stupid shit. It's like they are really good at selling you stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's getting better. It's like I'm a movie guy. So now I'm getting ads for streaming apps that I would actually pay attention to.
Yeah.
And not everybody gets the same ads. So it's like, you know. There's that.
We're living in the future. That's amazing. It's been a great chat, and I knew it would be because it was a cool vibe between us right away, Riley. So thank you for coming on, man. Like, you're one of the early guests, so it's going to be nice to look back at this in like 5 or 6 years from now and just, you know.
I hope by then I will have my season 1 out. For people who want to know what is in the future, I'm going to get a season 1 of 7 episodes on Tubi. And that will be coming soon. So I'm working on it. I have episode 4 in production and I have more to do. So Tubi, that's going soon.
And I get to say I know big time director on Tubi. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, dude. Thank All you right. so much. Riley Weber, check him out. Tick Ink Studios. You're everywhere. You're on LinkedIn. You're online. Just Google it, YouTube it, Tick Ink. He's there. Thank you so much, Riley. Awesome chatting to you, man.
Awesome.
Follow, like, subscribe, do all that stuff. I'll throw it up out there. Thank you for listening. Bye.